A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels, who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal. 144,000 marked from every tribe of the children of Israel. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The word of the Lord.
Blessings from the Lord shall he receive, and right reward from the God who saves him. Such are the people who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure, as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteo. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." Verbum Domini.
It is with sorrow, but also with great hope, in the feast that we celebrate today of All Saints, that I announce that Father Dominic, our own Father Dominic's mother, Barbara, passed away this past Wednesday. And Father Dominic was there, her loving husband, Ron, of 57 years, and his three siblings, John, Christine, and Joanne, were present there to be with her in this last step of her journey, her pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem. And we pray that she's celebrating with all the saints today. But should she need our prayers, we assist her with our prayers today as well for the blessed repose of her soul. And it was just a couple of months ago that she felt well enough. She'd been battling with cancer for 4.5 years. But she felt well enough to make a pilgrimage here to Alabama. And we had a wonderful meal, the Friars, with Ron and Barb and John here, and just a wonderful time to be with her. One of the things that she wanted to do, because she knew that eventually she would lose the struggle with cancer, that she always wanted to do the Camino de Santiago. And so 2 years before she succumbed to the cancer, she and her family, Father Dominic, traveled to do the Camino de Santiago, a portion of it. If you don't know what that is, it's one of the medieval pilgrimage routes. There were three great pilgrimage routes, one to Jerusalem, one to Rome, and one to northwest Spain in Compostela, where the remains of St. James the Apostle are. And this has been a traditional pilgrimage route across Spain. Some start in Portugal, others in France, even farther away in Germany and Italy. You can walk hundreds of miles on this pilgrimage, and along the way, you have these scallop shells as symbols that this is the path. Keep going on this path. The western northwest shore of Spain has a lot of scallop shells, and pilgrims will sometimes wear those scallop shells as a symbol that they're on pilgrimage. And so this was her desire, and they did that pilgrimage, you know, and Father Dominic talked about what a blessing that was to do that together. But there's something, because there's something special about going on a pilgrimage with others. There's a certain bonding that happens when you're together. And this is a walking pilgrimage. And so you're walking, and sometimes you may be conversing, sometimes you're praying, sometimes you're just silent. You're listening for the still small voice of God. That's what a pilgrimage is. It's basically, I want to encounter God in a new way. I want to go spend time journeying toward God. And it's really a symbol of our whole life. You know, we're on pilgrimage, whether you know it or not. We're on a journey. We're not home yet. And even our most comfortable homes, abodes that we might have here on earth, we feel like there's something we're not yet home. And so all of us are pilgrims. All of us are on a journey to our true homeland, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's where Christ is leading us. That's where the saints, the men and women of various circumstances and histories and tribulations and vocations, many of them, most of them unknown to us. We celebrate many of them, of course, during the year. But the majority of these great saints in heaven, all the saints in heaven, we don't know their names, but God knows them. And that's what it is to be a saint, to be known and loved by God, carved on the palm of his hand, as Isaiah said, known by him eternally, loved by him, sharing in his glory forever. That's what it is to be a saint. And today's readings and our liturgy actually talks about the fact that we are pilgrims, that we are on a journey to our true homeland of heaven. And so the psalm that we sang today, Psalm 24, the response we sang was, Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. And that comes from the psalm that we pray today, Psalm 24. So this psalm is speaking of Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, built on a mountain, a small mountain, Zion. And the temple was a place of God's presence. And so that was where you would go to pray, where Anna, the prophetess, spent all of her time, you know, in the temple. And Simeon going to the temple. That was a place where they would worship God. So the psalm says, who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one whose hands are sinless. How are our hands sinless? Well, think about this, that our hands are the vessels by which we do most of our actions, our work. And even today in our, you know, technological age, we still use our hands to type on our keyboards or to, you know, use our thumbs to text or to do our search for things. But whether it's laying bricks or shoveling or whether you're changing a baby's diaper or you're cleaning your home, that these hands are actions for good or for evil. We can also do evil actions with our hands. And the Lord, in fact, pointed that out by saying, if your hand is the cause of your sin, cut it off. That these hands that we have are meant to do good, to be sinless. That's how our hands are sinless, by carrying out good actions. Actions that are rich in charity, the love of God and the love of others. So who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean. That's what we're striving for a pure heart, a heart united to God. And so better to be able to unite it with one another. And what happens when they come to ascend that mountain of the Lord, to stand in his place, sinless, clean, desiring not what is in vain? He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God, his Savior. And then here's our verse that the response we had. Such is the race that seeks him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. So we celebrate those who have this eternal blessing, this eternal reward from God, their Savior, who has saved us. That's what they pronounce forever in thanksgiving, that you so loved us, that you saved us. Now, I was sent kind of a summary, really, of the whole salvation history. And it's just nice little sentences that talk about all of salvation history from creation to life and glory in heaven. And this is by Monsignor Louis Barnard. So, God is love. We heard that in today's second reading. Beloved, St. John is saying, we are the loved ones. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, and so we are. So Monsignor Barnard wrote, God loves, and to love means to give oneself. He gave us everything. Here we have creation. Why do we exist? We don't have to, but we do. So God gave us everything, our very existence. To love means to speak so as to communicate oneself to the beloved. God spoke. Here we have revelation. God reveals himself in the fullness of time in his Son, Jesus Christ. To love means to make oneself similar to the beloved. Here we have the incarnation. God became one with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To love means to suffer for the beloved. Here we have the redemption. There's no greater love than to lay down your life, and Jesus did this. To love means to live alongside the beloved. Here we have the Eucharist. as I've said before, the heart of all of our churches. To love means to become one with the beloved. Here we have Holy Communion that you are privileged to receive today, a Holy Communion with the Lord who loves us, who has become one with us in this way. And then finally, to love means to rejoice with the beloved. Here we have paradise. That's what God wants for us. But love can only be freely given. We have a free will. We can choose that path. We can choose to be on that pilgrimage to our heavenly Jerusalem, ascending the mountain by striving to do, living a life of charity, of virtue. Our hands are sinless, our heart becoming more and more pure until we make that final steps, those final steps of our journey to the heavenly Jerusalem with all the saints in heaven. Or we can choose to reject all that. There's really only two conclusions to our existence. One is with our beloved God forever in heaven. The other is to be separated from him forever. Which path are you on? Whatever path you're on, you can always right your path. You can change your steps to continue to ascend the mountain of the Lord to the heavenly Jerusalem, so that you may, as a conclusion of this reflection by Monsignor Louis Bernard said, to love means to rejoice with the beloved. Here we have paradise. Here we have heaven. And I just conclude with words from today's preface. So this is before the Eucharistic prayer today. And it says this: for today, by your gift, we celebrate the festival of your city, the heavenly Jerusalem, our mother, where the great array of our brothers and sisters already gives you eternal praise. Towards her, we eagerly hasten as pilgrims, advancing by faith, rejoicing in the glory bestowed upon those exalted members of the church, all the saints, through whom you give us in our frailty both strength through their intercession and good example. That's what we celebrate today. In our prayer after communion, may we pass from this pilgrim table to the banquet of our heavenly homeland.